The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
Hey, it's Mando Richard, and welcome to the Music Room here on WVUD. Today, we've got a pretty interesting interview for you. Herb Alpert. He's nearly 80 years old and is still making wonderful music with his trumpet. And he and his wife, Lanny Hall, will be in Wilmington on Friday, March 27th of 2015 at the Grand Opera House. Let's kick the show off with something from his brand new CD, In the Mood. Let's hear his brand new transformative take of Chattanooga Choo Choo on the Music Room, WVUD. And joining us on the air right now, calling to us from New York City, is Herb Alpert. How you doing, Herb?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm feeling good.
Well, we just listened to, off of your new CD, In the Mood, that wonderful version of Chattanooga Choo Choo that begins the album. And I love how, you know, you managed to, like, transform that old standard.
That's been my goal on most songs that I do. When I hear a song that I like, that I know that is, in the public ear, either a standard or some type of memory, I like to try to find a way to do it that hasn't been done, quite that way before. So Chattanooga Choo Choo is a particular favorite of mine because I got this rhythm from my nephew, Randy Badass Alpert, who sent me this groove, and I put Chattanooga Choo Choo over it with my form of jazz, and then I combined the electronic element of it with some jazz, and then a sophisticated string arrangement by my friend Eduardo del Barrio.
Well, it really comes out really well because it really updates it for today's audience.
Yeah, well, it's one of those songs, man, written in 1941.
And it's just not something that was expected at all to hear. It's almost a techno beat, and then here comes your trumpet sailing in as clear as ever.
Yeah, it's fun. My whole premise is if it's fun for me to play, it's going to be fun for someone else to listen to. Not everyone, but there's a certain amount of people that like it.
Well, I think your music has always been fun. I mean, I grew up as a kid listening to KXOK in St. Louis, Missouri with the pop music and, with all the yeah, yeah, yeahs and the guitars, and all of a sudden here comes this real clear, pretty trumpet doing A Taste of Honey.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the breakthrough record for the Tijuana Brass. Brass started in 1962 with The Lonely Bull, and I always tried to make visual music because when The Lonely Bull was top 10 in the country, I received a letter from a lady in Germany who said, "Dear Mr. Alpert, thank you so much for taking me on this vicarious trip to Tijuana." I had a chuckle when I first read it, and then I thought about it. I said, man, that music was so visual to her that it transported her from Germany to Tijuana. Quite a transition. So I always tried to make records that had some type of visual aspect to it, opposed to, you know, like elevator music, which is not bad. It's just music, but it doesn't stick to you.
Well, speaking of the visual element, the reason we're talking to you is you're going to be in Wilmington on Friday the 27th at the Grand Opera House. And, folks, if you want tickets, you can go to thegrandwilmington.org and order them online. What's this tour like? How big is the group you're touring with?
Well, you know, we've been together for the last 9 years, so it's just very transparent. It's drums, bass, and keyboards, and Lonnie, myself in front, and that's it. You know, I wanted it to be very, very, very transparent is the word, I guess. I wanted it to be, you know, very easy to, you can't dodge, you know, it's, you're hearing the music that's coming out and there's nothing trying to cover it up.
It's a great live show from what I've heard. I've got a friend of mine that, actually a fiddle player that says that he went to one of your shows about 10 years ago. He liked it so much, he went back the next night.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we've been getting. You know, we just finished a 2-week playing here at the famous Carlisle Cafe, the hotel. And it was standing room only, and it was an amazing 2 weeks, especially after we got a fabulous review in the New York Times. So from that point on, you couldn't get in the place, and the people just really had a great time. And that's what I like to do. You know, I'm not compromising what I'm doing as a musician. But it's a fun show. My wife is a world-class singer. She was the lead singer with Brazil 66, the original singer. And I don't know. I know I got a bunch of hit records that I'll play a little, you know, Tijuana Brass medley in the middle of the show. But around that, on both ends, is just spontaneous music, music that's just hopefully makes everyone feel good.
Well, you mentioned Lonnie Hall, your wife, being the lead singer with Brazil 66, one of the things that you have done that influenced people of my age was you founded A&M Records. And Lord knows I was spending my money on LPs from A&M Records when I was a kid, and that's where you met Lonnie.
Right. My partner Jerry Moss and I auditioned Sergio Mendes' Brazil 66 in 1966. And I fell in love with that sound. I mean, that sound from Brazil is just extraordinary because it's the music is quite different than the music that I was used to hearing here. And then when I heard her voice, it was just, you know, she has an amazing, God-given, you know, world-class voice. So it's quite beautiful just to even hear her, because she's not willing to sing any song unless it resonates with her. She won't sing a negative lyric. She won't sing anything that doesn't feel right for her. And when you hear her, it's quite a thrill.
Well, what we've got queued up next is Lonnie doing the singing on I've Got You Under My Skin, which was recorded live, what, back in 2009?
Oh, I guess so. I'm not really, my memory for dates not great anymore.
You under my skin, I've got you deep in the heart of me, so deep in my heart you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in, said to myself this affair never would go so well. But how can I try to resist when, darling, I know so well I've got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near, in spite of the warning voice comes in the night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know, you fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time I do, just the thought of you makes me stop. Thank you. under my skin.
You know, I'm going to be 80 at the end of this month, and few things are starting to slip. Not my ability to play. Actually, I'm playing better now, I feel, than I did 20 years ago.
Well, I was going to ask you this because I know that the trumpet players, I know once they get into their 60s or their 70s, their lip starts to go. What do you do to take care of your lip? Because you're still playing these beautiful notes. I mean, you're still so lyrical.
No, I'm more excited to play than ever before. I started playing the trumpet when I was 8. I never really thought about how to do it because I have this classical background. I studied with some great classical musicians. And then I ran into a snag around 1969, 1970, 71. It was really tough for me to play the horn. I was going through a divorce, and I wasn't feeling particularly, emotionally, I was not in good shape, and the horn started reflecting that. I was starting to stutter through the instrument. I just couldn't play. And I found this teacher in New York City by the name of Carmine Caruso, who taught me the physics of playing the instrument. What actually happens? How do you make the notes? How do you make it go higher or lower? Or, you know, he just had these. He wasn't a trumpet player, but he taught the physics of playing the instrument, and he likened the musician to an athlete, and you go through these certain routines to get your body to sync your body to rhythm. And it made a big difference once I really understood how to make a sound out of the instrument, because he used to look at my trumpet and say, "This is just a piece of plumbing. This is not an instrument." He says, "You're the instrument."
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, your tone is still lyrical and beautiful, and I think people are going to really enjoy having you and Lonnie on the stage in Wilmington on Friday, March 27th.
Yeah, no one will be disappointed. I'll guarantee that. It's a great show. It's upbeat. It's fun. They get to hear, a little. They can reminisce with the Tijuana Brass and some Brazil 66 music. It's fabulous.
But the thing is, you've kept developing. It's not like this is an old geezer band revisiting their hits from the 60s and 70s. I mean, you have kept developing.
You hit it on the nose with the geezer stuff.
Well, it's really, really fun to see that. Now, the other thing, though, you've done, you're just so generous with other artists, both in the music world and in the art world.
Well, it's one of my pleasures. You know, I feel like I've been very fortunate, way beyond my imagination, and I like trying to help others as well.
What kinds of scholarships does your foundation give out?
Well, it depends on the organization. We do have the Herb Alpert Award in the Arts that we've been doing. That has been the last 20 years.
But that's in the visual arts?
It's all the arts. There's five artists that are recognized every year. And we're picking on mid-career artists, artists that are not quite there, but they're kind of right in the middle of things. They're not beginners, and they're not stars. They're just working towards that goal. So I like giving them a helping hand, and it's we've over 100 artists to this point have been the recipient of the Herb Alpert Award in the Arts.
That's very generous of you. I know that you do some visual art yourself.
Oh yeah, no, I'm excited about painting, sculpting, and playing the trumpet. You know, I practice every day. Not because I have to. It's just like it gives me energy, and it's a thrill for me to do that.
Now, one of the things that you've been doing this, as you said, since you've been in the music business since the early 1960s.
Yeah, no, I've been in the business way before that. You know, I started in 1957. I was working for a company, and Sam Cooke was the main artist, and I learned a lot from Sam Cooke. Wrote a song with him, with Lou Adler, myself, and Sam Cooke. We wrote Wonderful World. You know, don't know much about history.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology. Don't
Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be.
We did the Jan and Dean, and we did this of Alley-Oop record. So, I mean, things were going okay for me, and then I took a little hiatus. Somebody said, you look like you should be in movies, and I took a little jaunt with, you know, studying acting. I studied with Leonard Nimoy for a while, and realized that I wasn't a very good actor. But I had a good time doing it, met some really nice people. Music has always been my thing with, I just like to play the trumpet.
One of the things that you've done, and you've done this pretty consistently through the 1960s and even on into today, is the music you play really does cross over several different genres.
I think it does, you know, because I feel like I'm an honest musician. I never thought about making a hit record. I thought about making good records, you know, records that I would buy myself. You know, that's how A&M started. We wanted to pick up on artists that really had something unique to say in their own special way, you know, like the Cat Stevens of the world and the Sting and the Police and Quincy Jones and Janet Jackson and Supertramp. I mean, it goes on and on. We had some fabulous groups that were very original. We were not thinking about trying to find the beat of the week.
I think the last song I've got picked out to play is your version from this new CD of yours called In the Mood, When Sunny Gets Blue.
Well, a beautiful song. And I know when you play it, if anyone in the audience is curious, you know, I'm very super underlined, super conscious of the lyrics of all the songs that I play, standard songs. So you'll hear that lyric coming through my horn because it's a gorgeous lyric. You know, when it says, when Sunny gets blue, her eyes turn gray and cloudy, then the rain begins to fall. Now that's... I think that's very simply beautiful, and I hopefully I say that right through the trumpet.
Well, I think you do. Your trumpet playing on that is just so lyrical and just so clear and pretty.
Oh, thank you very much.
Again, folks, if you want to see Herb Alpert, he'll be appearing Friday, March 27th at the Grand Opera House in Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. We hear it's a very, very, very nice venue, and the sound is great there. So always looking forward to playing at a great place.
Hey, I just got to ask you before you go, because my son and you share something, having a dad who's a mandolin player.
Oh, yeah. My dad was from Russia. And he played mandolin by ear, but he knew a lot of songs. And, you know, when he played, he played. You know, he wasn't like just phoning it in. He really had a feeling for the instrument. And it was always, you know, a pleasure watching him and hearing him play.
Did he play any specific kinds of music, or did he just play whatever he liked?
Well, you know, he had this Russian, I guess, a lot of the Russian songs that were a part of him, so mainly those songs. No, he wasn't playing pop. He didn't play any rock and roll, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, well, Herb, I think everybody in Wilmington should be looking forward to you and Lonnie come to the Grand Opera House on Friday night.
Well, I hope to see a lot of people there. You know, it's, I repeat again, I don't think anyone will be disappointed with the show. It's every show we do, we put our all into it, and it's all spontaneous except for the, you know, I'll do a Tijuana Brass medley, and Lonnie will do Brazil 66, little wrap-up, but everything that's happening around that is pretty well of the moment, so each night is different for us. That's what makes it fun for me to play.
Thank you so much for taking some time out of your day.
My pleasure. Good luck.
Thank you, Herb.
Okay, man. Good luck.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. That's sites, S-I-T-E-S, .udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.